Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Happy Holy Cross Day. Good job. Look at all you in your red. I'm impressed. And apparently, I didn't know this, but the alternate color is blue. And so, like, everybody who's not in red is in blue. I'm impressed with the spirit around here. So welcome. I frequently get into conversations with people in the wider community about why they should go to church. I get asked this question. Well, really, like, I'm spiritual but not religious. Why do I need to go to church? Or for that matter, temple, or mosque, or meditation? And one of my most frequent replies is the support of the community. A religious community, and as it's the Feast of the Holy Cross today, and I'm talking about St. Cross, a Christian community is one that is present and supportive of you from cradle to the grave. A healthy and thriving Christian community celebrates the birth of every child and celebrates the life of every member upon his or her death. Yet perhaps what is even more important than those two nodal points is how we support one another in our Christian life in between those two moments. How do we encourage, inspire one another to walk while we have light, to believe in the light so that we may become children of the light, as Jesus encourages the disciples in today's gospel? One way that we live into the light is to educate ourselves so as to strengthen our faith. And today we started Sunday school, not just for youth and children. I thought for adults, but apparently that's next week. But we are starting. And I know for some parents, and maybe even for some of us adults without children, sometimes it's a struggle to make it here. Am I right? Yeah? Sometimes staying at home may seem like the easier plan. And so congratulations to the parents and all the adults who made it here today, and especially the parents who made it here with their children and had their forms filled out and met with the St. Clair's group and all of that, because you in particular are leading your children into a life walking in the light. Our children will not learn faith while at home with their parents if we as parents and adults do not practice our own faith rigorously. Being here supports the children's life in the faith, but us grown-ups' life also. So we become children of the light when we educate. We also become children of the light when we pray in ways that sustain us and sustain others, and most importantly, deepen our relationship with God. So on this feast day, I want you to think for a moment, how is your prayer life? walking in the light? Where is your prayer life abundant? Where does your prayer life need support? And how can our community help you on that journey? And one other way that we become children of the light is when we, as Paul says in his letter to Galatians today, when we bear one another's burdens. As Christians, it is not just about showing up to church for education and worship and not just about saying our prayers, but being Christian, walking in the light, is how we live our lives day in and day out. And for me, one of the toughest parts of the Galatians reading today is Paul's admonition to not worry so much about what the next person is doing, but to judge ourselves on our own actions. Paul gives the example because in his day, in the early church, there was a great division about circumcised and uncircumcised. And if you want to know more about that, go ask Greg. So, that was the issue, though. And those who were thought to be truly faithful and in, and there's some history to that. And those who weren't, well, they were mostly kind of faithful, but they weren't really in, right? To be really blunt, they didn't look like everybody else, apparently. In our day and age, though, the dividing line is not around circumcision. Instead, our dividing lines are around worthiness. We often hear talk in our media and, quite frankly, in our own conversations about who deserves rather than who needs. And Paul is telling us in his letter to the Galatians to throw out the deserving conversations and quit wasting time and get to work on the needs. Because we, all of us, as we heard last week, we can spend a lot of time in judgment based on whether they're welfare recipients or drug addicts or mentally ill or from the wrong side of the tracks. Only here it's from the wrong side of PCH. Those who don't stand a chance even with help. Those who will never be able to break the cycle of the community he or she was raised in. They don't speak English, or they don't speak English without an accent, or currently they're refugees and we have enough. We have plenty of dividing lines. Only Jesus, as Paul explains to us, wasn't about who was in and who was out. It was not about looks or sound or intelligence or deserving. Jesus was all in all the time, as long as you walked in the light. And even if you hedged towards darkness, he was ready to pull you back in. 16 years ago, we started a ministry with the Spanish-speaking refugee churches in Belize. And it was on somewhat of a fluke that we became aware of the need, but we did. And while there was discernment about best paths forward, what I love is there seemed to be little judgment about the people other than there was a need. Now, I've been here for 11 out of the 16 years, so I know there was a little judgment from time to time, but that was not the driving force of these ministries. For 16 years, we have built a church. We have built homes. We have supported high school education in a country where public education stops at eighth grade, and the only way to get that high school education is through private means. We have sustained the ministry and the spiritual life of four priests and their lay leaders in the congregations that they serve. We have given our time, we have given our prayers, and we have given our resources. And that is what Jesus and Paul are talking about. What we did in Belize is living as children of the light, bearing one another's burdens through the love of Christ. And together, not St. Cross, but St. Cross with the people of Belize, together we brought about a new creation, as Paul describes today. Now, many of you learned working with the Belize ministry, or maybe on your own mission trips elsewhere, the great irony of mission work. You see, we go down and we're all ready and we've done our praying and our fundraising. We are there to be the helpers and the givers and the builders. And what we learn is that when we're living into the light of Christ, it's us who ends up being transformed, not just the community that we're serving. When we are living in the light, it is a two-way street of the light of Christ. You see, with our ministry in Belize, our homes and our hearts and our parish were all changed through the love that we were given, not because we came bearing gifts, but because we came together in need. We came together to bear one another's burdens through the light of Christ. That life cycle that I said we experience in our community from birth to death, we also experience with ministries. I applaud the Belize team for their efforts in the past 16 years, those present here today and those unable to be with us. And I also deeply admire and applaud their dignity in giving the ministry an end with a flare and not a sad, quiet fizzle. It's a bittersweet moment when a ministry comes to its end. At one time, it was so filled with life, and it has been life-giving to so many. And yet, even ministries have a lifespan. So today, we can celebrate, and I originally said with the many of us, but really, we're going to celebrate all of us, because all of us have been touched by this ministry one way or another just by being members of our parish. And we can be aware, we can be faithful, we can be hopeful, that knowing that the life cycle continues. As we say goodbye to the formal Belize ministries, we can begin to look and listen for where the Holy Spirit is calling us next. And I dare say the Holy Spirit, those of you who hear me often say, I think she's kind of wily, that Holy Spirit. I think that seeds have already begun to be planted, because our Habitat for Humanity ministry is new by comparison, and it is up and running and getting stronger each build. Or also, this past year, we have had seeds planted with homeless ministries, with Laundry Love, and our great new ministry to help specifically homeless families, Family Promise. We have new things growing. We are St. Cross. And we know, because we are St. Cross and we do our best to be faithful, that the cycle of the cross is life and death and resurrection. And as the St. Cross community, we will do our best to faithfully live into that cycle. Today, we rejoice that we have had a great life with our brothers and sisters in Belize. And we honor the end of that relationship and the grief that comes with it. And we look forward to where we will next lift high the cross, walk as the children of light, as we bear one another's burdens. Amen.